KR4DOS, W4DJW.
W4DJW, KR4ACR.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Just wondering if anybody heard about from Patrick.
That makes two of us. I was thinking Gary might have heard from him, and he might have had his radio on in the ham shack, but I guess we'll have to wait a little bit longer. We'll most likely get an update by net tonight, but I was wanting to get one a little bit earlier if I could.
I just hadn't heard anybody say all day, but I've been busy too. So.
Well, that's the same here. That's why I decided to give Gary a call, because I was out at airfield for a while, and then I was washing the dogs for a while, walking the dogs, so I haven't been around the radio a lot today.
It's in the car with me, but I have to keep turning it down all the time when the phone rings.
Get that. You doing okay today?
Just busy, just worn out, but yeah, everything's well. From my understanding, it's raining at the house, but it's not raining in Greenville.
I was surprised. I didn't know rain was in the forecast, but I was talking to a buddy of mine in Charlotte, and I looked up, and the Ring cameras were all on the wall opposite my desk. You can see all of them on a 60-inch TV screen. And everything outside was wet. And I had no idea it was even going to rain today.
Well, I looked at the weather thing last night on the way home because I needed to get the grass cut at my daughter's house. And it looked to me like it was going to rain for 3 or 4 days straight. So I went and cut grass before going home. And then it didn't rain until today.
Well, I just decided early this morning I was just going to go ahead and go to the airfield this morning instead of this afternoon. Not because I thought it might rain, just because it thought it'd give me more time in the afternoon to wash the dogs and brush them out and all that stuff. They take a lot of attention. And I got in 30 minutes of flying in the airtime, some good flying. The wind wasn't blowing. It was hot. The sun was out, but I had a hat on. But I enjoyed it. But that was just pure luck.
I'm glad you was able to get that in.
Are you still working or are you retired?
Oh, yeah. I'm still working.
You got long to go?
Yeah, forever, probably.
That's the way I looked at it all the way up until I got in my late 40s. I started approaching 50s. It's like a horse smelling water.
Well, anyway, things just didn't go like they should have gone for me, but we shall see.
Well, you never know. There's probably a silver lining somewhere in there. They didn't for me either. Well, I had a better opportunity close to the end. It didn't end the way I thought it was going to end, but as it turned out, it ended better. It was an improvement. So there may be a silver lining in there somewhere. Hopefully there is.
I hear that. Michelin?
Well, I started my career at Michelin back in the 70s. I stayed with them for 18 years, and I really liked it. But the people I was hiring into contract writing code were making more than I was. And they told me, you need to get out of contract. And they were right. And I told Michelin, you know, I hate to leave Michelin, but there's a lot more money to be made in contracting writing software than there was in, you know, writing code for manufacturing. So I went out, and as it turns out, it was a good move, but I hated leaving that company. That was a really good company.
Well, that works for Michelin in Spartanburg.
I used to go over to Spartanburg every now and then. We had some developers over there that were writing code. Spartanburg did the really big tires. They called them Jenny Sevilles or truck tires, you know, whereas US-1, that's what Greenville, built car tires. And then Anderson was the rubber manufacturer. They sent everybody rubber. I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about it. I even went up to Akron, Ohio there for a couple of years every day and taught those guys how to make molds that can cure tires in that are much more accurate than what they made, because they handled we couldn't build anything fast enough. We were, the whole time I was there, more product was sold than we could make, and that's exactly where you want to be. But anyway, I really, really loved that place.
He seems to like it. I don't really even know what he does. He used to be out in the plant, but he's gotten an office job.
That's similar to what happened to me. When they hired me in, it was I was out of that high school, and it was summertime, and high school was out, and I didn't have a plan. I was signed up to go to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. The governor back at that time, Strom Thurmond, signed me up to go to the officer training school in Boulder, Colorado, to fly fighter jets. And that's what my plan was. But my buddy, his dad was an air traffic controller, and he said, "Why? I hear Michelin's hiring. Why don't you just go make some money between now and then?" So I did. And I stayed there for 18 years.
I'm sure that worked out well. Like you say, it got you to move on to something bigger and better, so that's even better.
Yeah, it was a stepping stone. And it built a good foundation. They're a really solid company. They teach their people. One time they sent me to school for 2 weeks, and the goal when you come out was to have an aluminum dice that's about 2 inches square, and they give you a design, and they give you bar stock. They give you a hacksaw, and they give you a file and a drill press. And you have to make that dice. You have 2 weeks to shape that, cut it off into that bar stock, file it flat, square, and parallel. And that is what takes the whole time, most of the 2 weeks, to get it. All the sides have to be the same dimension width-wise, and all the markings on the dice have to be in the right order, in the right place, and all the sides have to be flat, and that's not easy to do with a file, and they have to be square with each other. The square has to be completely square, and all the two sides that are opposite each other have to be parallel from each other, and you have a tolerance for the overall size that you can be in. A bunch of those aluminum dice went through the windows, went through the glass, and they walked out. They said, "I can't do this," and they left Michelin. And they would rather you have done that and left Michelin than to stay there and do that to a multi-million-dollar machine because you got mad at it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's a way to test your people.
It did teach me patience, and it taught me patience, and it taught me self-control over an extended period of time. I really appreciate them for doing that. Francois Michelin used to come by about 4 times a year when I got into the office job, and you'd stand outside your office door, and he would come by, and he'd greet every single person there that was in the office, and he'd know your wife's name, your kids' names, even some of them he'd know your dog's names. I had a dog named Champ, and he knew what Champ's name was. He asked me about the dog. It was family-owned. You can't buy it in the stock market. There's no stock to be sold. It's all completely family-owned and very proud company.
So it taught you perseverance.
Yes, because of what they had done. They had been building. There's a museum in Clermont-Ferrand. I went over there and lived over there for a year. And the town I was in was the town that had the museum. They started making tires when it was wagon wheels. It was wooden spoke wheels with a metal band that went around the outside of it. That was their debut into making tires.
Well, you've taught me a lot more about Michelin than I knew. I mean, I knew it was a good company, but I've never really. We used to deliver for them. I'm in the courier business. We used to deliver for Michelin, and we still do some for Greenville.
Yeah, I heard that they went to a new manufacturing method, and a lot of what they used to do when I was there is gone. Those jobs aren't there anymore. They're not needed anymore. they made some kind of a lot more automated tire manufacturing process than they made back then. I started out in the scrap at the back of the plant when there was four. It started off with two chains, and the chains made up of Mac and a Math. And at the end of the shift, they take all their scrap rubber to me. And I'd have to weigh it up and separate the good from the bad and charge them for the bad and put the good back into use again. And I did that for a few months and always wanted to get in over there in Service V, which was where they did machining. Always wanted to be a machinist. And after about 6 years, I finally made it into that. I finally made it into the machine shop.
Occasionally take stuff from the US-1 up to the Michelin Testing Center in Charlotte, and then we'll bring stuff back also. But it's, once every couple of weeks or so now. It used to be twice a week we did that.
I wonder if they're still in a position where they have everything that they can make sold. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that in a long time. I don't know anybody very well that still works there. I do keep in touch with a couple of people, but it's, you know, once or twice a year. It's nothing daily.
Know anybody? I mean, there's people down there that basically email me when they have something to do, and we do it, and I don't, as a rule, don't even have to talk to them on the phone.
Well, that's a pretty good way to do it. Just get a text message and go. So were you around here in the 70s, or was it the 80s or the 90s, or were you in this area back then?
Here all my life. I was born in 61.
Oh, so you knew Lovin' Hudson in the morning on WQOK back in the 70s.
For some reason, this place right here, I'm in Greer, where the Walmart is, in this spot, you started breaking up. Interesting.
Yeah, it gets that way for me when I'm in Zaxby's. Let me know if it's still bad, and I'll wait.
All right, I eased up a little bit, and I can hear you now.
That's what I do at Zaxby's. I roll 6 inches forward, and it goes from nothing to full quieting. Anyway, I was wondering if you remembered Lovin' Hudson in the morning on WQOK back in the 70s in Greenville.
Yeah, I used to listen to Bill Lovin' Hudson, and then when they were on this Earth FM station, they closed down.
Well, his son, Hudson, his son, Tommy Hudson, worked next to me at Michelin. He was a software developer, too. And I keep in touch with him every now and then. He moved out to Washington State, and he just recently came back within the last couple of years to Traveler's Rest. But he's been gone. When I took off, he took off about the same time I did and went contracting, and he went to work for a small company that was building a software operating system called Linux, and they turned into Red Hat. But and then he went on to different things throughout the years, similar to what I did. But he worked in the same cube as I did right across from me. I wrote the software for doing the sidewalls of the tire, and he wrote the software for doing the part that hits the road where the rubber meets the road.
That's cool.
I used to listen to Lovin' Hudson all the time. I'd turn on WQOK, and I had a 65 Mustang, and I'd turn on WQOK, turn it up loud, and roll the windows down. Life was grand back in those days.
Yeah, we didn't know how good we had it, did we?
No, I had a 65 Mustang with a 289 I had to rebuild in it. And my sister was dating a guy that got one of these new cars that was outrageously priced. It was called a Trans Am, and it had positive traction rear end. It had a 455 engine with a 4-speed transmission and radial tuned suspension. And his Trans Am made my little 65 Mustang look, it was like in the early 70s when the Trans Am first came out. And that thing cost $6,000. Outrageous. Nobody would ever pay $6,000 for a car.
There's a truck at the Toyota place the other day. I wasn't interested in buying it. I just want to see what it costs. It's $68,000.
That's the same price I saw. I was pricing new Tacomas about half a year ago. And that's the same price I saw back then. I thought that was crazy. I was looking for a full bed, and I found one up the road at the GMC place. And they called that truck a Denali, and it was $100,000 for that truck. And back in the 70s, we thought $6,000 for a Trans Am was crazy. Nobody in their right mind would do that.
No, but I used to like Trans Ams and Camaros, too.
Yeah, I ended up with about 3 Trans Ams and a couple of Camaros. Right before I got married, I got a Z28, brand new, off the showroom floor, Camaro. Loved that thing, and after I got married, I had to sell it to my buddy who was a race car, did drag racing down at Ware Shoals. And so he put a 400 horsepower engine in it. And I used to tow him to Ware Shoals drag strip every weekend. Every Saturday we'd go down there. And I towed him with my 59 Chevrolet pickup with an inline 6-cylinder in it.
Good memories, huh?
Yeah, it's like Ray used to say, those were good days. Those were memories. Those were good days, but I wouldn't give you a plug nickel to go back to them. It was a lot harder back then than it is now.
I agree.
Well, anyway, Terry, I won't keep you. If you hear anything about Patrick, let me know. If I hear anything, I'll ping you. If I hear you on here, and let you know.
Okay, I appreciate that. Nice chatting with you. We will talk later. W4DJW, KR4ACR, be clear.
Roger that. Catch you later. W4DJW, clear and listening.